track 8. And now we come to the letters. First one, councillors, stop. Deal with the issues that really matter. Brian Hall of Heather Close, Tynmouth writes, councillors, please stop sniping at each other. This must be embarrassing for those local councillors that quietly get on with the job and are polite and informative when approached personally on the street. It certainly does not endear me to want to vote for you in the future. Instead, tell us what's happening and when. With replacing the permanent toilets on the Den, Brunswick Street development, decades on, the cycle path between Newton Abbott and Tynmouth. The Lido closed all of last year and early this year due to a defect. Promise us it will be open in 2024. Getting CCTV in Tynmouth working as both a deterrent and to assist the police in catching those responsible for wrongdoing. Tackling dog mess on the beach and all our streets. No coincidence, we have lost the blue flag. Bitton Park Road redevelopment. Do you think that we really care about Lib Dem standing orders? Discuss this in private. People love to live in Tynmouth and Teignbridge, but I look at the gem of the South Devon and it seems a little tarnished at the moment. We could go on to mention other aspects of local government that are not being addressed. Potholes, hedges, verges, road sweeping. I have no option to pay council tax in full. If I could apply for a reduction due to not receiving a full service, I would. Councillors, please put on a united front and serve those that voted for you. Sort out any disagreements in private.
Our heritage. Michael Martin of Cedars Road, Exeter writes, in case any of your readers have not seen such publicity as there has been for a couple of events being held in Newton Abbott as a part of Heritage Open Days, can I mention that Old Ford House will be open on Friday, September the 8th, 10 a.m. till 4 p.m, and Woolborough Church on Saturday, September the 9th, from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Admission is free, and refreshments will be available on the 8th.
Lining their pockets at the expense of us mugs. Kevin Mellow of Paignton writes, we live in Paignton and, as you are aware, have had a hosepipe ban for months and believe it will be in place until December. We've had quite literally an awful summer, but still the ban is in place. We're on a water meter, so we pay for every drop of water we use. So this makes you automatically frugal with your use of water. I am sick to the teeth of the fat cats taking our money and yet not delivering what we have paid for. As we are not getting the service, why don't we see a reduction in the cost of our bills? Moreover, why don't we all refuse to pay? It's amazing that in countries where they have next to no rainfall, no bans are ever experienced. We are pathetic at managing our water resource, and this should be managed by someone who has the end customer in mind, not just to line one's own pockets out of us mugs.
It's hard to keep up with the Tories. Mark Wooding, Liberal Democrat, prospective parliamentary candidate for Central Devon. Well, what a week. It's hard to keep up with the Conservatives. The Department for Work and Pensions announces it's going to claw back millions of pounds in benefit payments made, through its own mistake, from millions of the poorest in our society. But still no action to claw back the billions of pounds paid for unsuitable PPE during the pandemic. Minister Gove announces builders need no longer worry about the pollution they cause to our rivers, which announcement coincidentally put £600 million in the pockets of the Conservative Party's biggest supporters. The Prime Minister appointed Grant Shapps as Defence Minister. Or was it Michael Green, Corinne Stockheath or Sebastian Fox? All aliases used by Mr. Shapps in his business dealings. High-tech hospital beds bought during the COVID-19 pandemic for £2,500 each, sold off for the bargain basement price of £6 each. The Home Secretary claims to have recruited 23,000 more police officers, even though the Conservative government presided over the loss of 20,000 in the first place. The government, who've known about the problem since 2018, was eventually forced to disclose over 100 schools have construction problems, potentially putting the lives of thousands of pupils at risk, and at very least disrupting their education. A former Conservative Party leader condones the vandalisation of public property when people don't like a cleaner environment. Oh, and I nearly forgot, a former Conservative minister finally resigned as an MP with a coruscating attack on the Prime Minister, which included the observation, "Since you took office a year ago, the country is run by a zombie parliament where nothing meaningful has happened. What exactly has been done or have you achieved?" Quite. One might be forgiven for thinking it is now the strategy of the Conservative Party to roll out a new scandal every day to ensure we just keep up. Meanwhile, sewage continues to be poured into our rivers and onto our beaches, and the poorest in our society struggle with the cost of living crisis. Dare I say it? I think it's time for a change.
Bus services in rural areas are being run down and forgotten. Councillor Alison Foden of Dawlish writes, "I read with interest the column of our MP Anne Marie Morris on the necessity of cars, particularly for those in remote and rural areas due to the lack of regular bus services. I wonder why there is no regular bus service. Deregulation and privatisation of UK bus services in the 1980s by a Conservative government, meaning that public bus services are run by private companies, prioritising profit-making rather than providing effective and irregular buses. Cuts to public bus services funding by subsequent Conservative governments, personal and financial Tory interests in private car ownership, and this Conservative government's ban on undeveloped local authorities taking bus services back in-house. Boris Johnson's Bus Back Better campaign, funding mostly only benefited those urban, suburban councils in the South East. Reading, with a population one-sixth the size of Devon's, received almost twice the amount of funding that Devon County Council received." The letter then goes on to give data from the 2021 census comparing figures for Reading and Devon, and then she continues, "Bus timetables have been revised again by Stagecoach South West, starting from today. For example, yet again there are no improvements to the service servicing Newton Abbott, Tynmouth, Kingstainton, Holcombe, Cockwood, Starcross, Kenton, Dawlish and Exminster, that's the two, while on the other side of the estuary, the Exmouth bus service has extra bus services in the timetable after Stagecoach listened to passenger feedback. Yet again, public bus services in remote and rural areas are being forgotten and run down."
Meeting called to discuss Queen Street proposals. Liam Malone and Janet Bradford, South Devon Alliance councillors for College Ward, write, "You will be aware that Teignbridge District Council intends to implement its plans regarding the future High Street Fund, which include the elimination of parking spaces and all non-essential traffic from this section of Queen Street. Only the South Devon Alliance members and some independents voted repeatedly against these changes, which we believe will come as a hammer blow to town centre businesses that are already suffering from the after effects of coronavirus and the economic downturn. You may recall that we surveyed all business owners and managers affected and found that 84% of you oppose the scheme. The council has refused to acknowledge this survey, but won't disclose the results of its own consultation with business owners and managers, presumably because they didn't get the answers they were hoping for. The council simply insists that the changes are welcomed by most businesses. We realise that some of you do, in fact, welcome the plans, while others had no strong opinion. If this includes you, we respect your point of view and we hope that things turn out to the good. For those that oppose it, we want you to know that we continue the fight on your behalf. To this end, there will be a meeting of all business owners, managers and other interested parties at Medi Restaurant, 41-43 Queen Street at 3:15 p.m. on Thursday, September the 14th. If you can spare an hour, please come and tell us what helpful action we can take and what response you feel will be most effective in forcing the council to listen. We need your input. All ideas are welcome and nothing is off the table. Ideally, we can find some firm action that we can all take together and which cannot be brushed aside. We need the unambiguous support of locals to bring about any change, so if these plans concern you, please try to make the meeting if you possibly can.
Closure of A380 Lane, ridiculous. Bill Field writes via email. Close lane on the A380 over the Teen. This ridiculous closure over the recent break and continuing has created several accidents, meant that three lanes of traffic from Tynmouth Road slip, as well as the A380 southbound, into one lane. For no work to be actioned and hides only a gap in the fencing over the river, as far as I can gather, passing by. Traffic, however, has been diverted through the town each day, causing much pollution and delay for all road users, including those trying to make a living. No doubt this was instigated by an officer who was a cyclist or a Stop Oil supporter. Perhaps you can verify its effectiveness.
Thanks for the Hunt Sabs funds. Hayden Macy, Secretary of the South Devon Hunt Sabs, writes, street collections for South Devon Hunt Sabs held in Newton Abbot, Ashburton, Dawlish and Tynmouth on the 26th of July, 9th, 17th and 19th of August raised £118.23, £130.18, £60.35 and £261.95 respectively, each after deduction of just £2.50 auditor's fees. We are most grateful for Teignbridge residents and visitors for their continued and valued support during the current financial pressures. South Devon Hunt Sabs has no paid staff. All our members and collectors are volunteers. And that's the end of the letters for this week.